That's your report.
It's the perfect size for some people that don't want.
Oh, yeah, for retirees. Yeah, for yeah retirees, absolutely.
You know,
so yeah.
I'm waiting on that sorry, because I don't have the time to do that. So, okay, it gives me some additional
Yes. Okay. You can do the location, right?
Meeting of the Kaufman Town Advisory Board for Tuesday, 25th of April, 2017, at 1:30 p.m. in the Clark County Regional Government Center in downtown Laughlin. Call it to order. A few preliminary items. Please turn your cell phones and other devices off. If you have conversations, please take them out in the hallway. The board can combine, remove, delay, and any item on the agenda in any order. I don't think we're going to be shifting the agenda around today. No no action can be taken on any item that's not posted on the agenda. Since this is a planning and zoning meeting, basically, those items will be forwarded to the Planning Commission in Las Vegas. If you need assistance or information from the town manager's office, you can call 702-298-0828. And you can also go to the county website. If you all please stand, we'll ask Pastor Jeff Wesley to come out and give the invocation.
Father, I marvel at your creation. I thank you so much for the weather we're having right now. I wish it would last all the way through July and August, but we'll be happy to take what we can get. I especially appreciate personally roadrunners, and I'd like to see more of that. We ask that you bless this meeting, that you will be done, that you give grace and wisdom and knowledge to all concerned, so that the best can be done for all involved and for all parties concerned, for all citizens. We thank you and we bless you. In the name of Jesus.
And we'll ask Vice Chair Kathy Oakes to lead the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you all for attending and showing your interest in your community. I'll now call the roll to confirm a quorum. Gina Mackey.
Present.
Vice Chair Kathy Oates.
Present.
Member Bruce Henry.
Present.
And Chair Jim Aniachi here. Next item is public comment. Devote from the general public devoted to items that are on the agenda. Again, no discussion, action, or vote can be taken under anything raised under this agenda item. If there is a public hearing, and we have two of them, you'll be given the opportunity to speak and give your testimony as each item is presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction not appearing on this agenda, please wait until comments by the general public at the end of the meeting. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes, and I have my handy timer. When you do speak, please go to the podium, take the microphone, speak directly into the microphone. You can't have it wandering off on the side. State your name. Please spell your last name so the secretary can have it recorded correctly in the minutes. And give an address. And direct your comments to the chair, to the board, not to the audience. If you need more time, the chair or board wishes to be granted more time. Is there anybody that wishes to speak about an item on the agenda? Seeing none, we will proceed. Approval of the agenda for April 25th, 2017, with the stipulation that we can hold, combine, or delete any items. The floor is open to a motion, board members.
Go ahead and make a motion that we approve the agenda for today.
Yes, sir. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 4-0. Okay, the next item are the two planning and zoning items. The first one is TM0053-17, D.R. Horton Incorporated. Tentative map consisting of 108 single-family residential lots and common lots on 15.3 acres in an R3 multiple-family residential zone, generally located on the north side of Brookings Bay Avenue between James A. Gilbray Parkway and El Mirage Way, some 850 feet west of the Needles Highway within Waltham. This is for action and to go to the Planning Commission for the May 16th meeting. Find a nice, great piece of paper. Actually, I just did that. Is there anybody here from the applicant?
Michael Cuddy, DR Gordon, 1081 Whitney Ranch Drive, Henderson. Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y.
Proceed and explain your application, please.
Thank you. As you don't know, we are zoned presently for 162 units there. As they look up here, we have one building constructed at present. It's up on the monitor. That building has two stories. And a carriage unit or a garage. We found that the stairs are conducive to the market, so we're moving the third unit. So what we have before you is an all-new one-story townhome. And instead of 162, there will only be 108 units. They will fit within the same footprint. None of the currently constructed improvements will be removed. And that's about it. Just not a two-story.
Okay. I'll now open the meeting to public hearing for comments from the public. Is there anybody who wishes to speak in favor of this application?
I can ask a question.
Is there anybody who wants to speak in favor? Is there anybody who wants to speak neutrally?
My name is Steve Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S, 2149 Dillon Stove Drive, Lawson. And my question for him, I'm assuming you want to build what you're in the building.
Steve, please direct your questions here.
No. You're not going to build the duplexes in those areas. You have something else in mind. That's my question.
Yeah, I'm looking for your money.
A present zone for the 162 triplexes as depicted, and it'll be only 108 duplexes. As built up.
You said 108 duplexes.
Correct.
And are those similar to what you're doing now?
Not quite different, but they're the same footprint.
Mr. Chin.
Yes, good.
Just a question. I'm not sure if I heard you correctly. So originally it was zoned for 162 triplexes.
That is correct.
Being three. And now we're talking 108 duplexes.
That's correct.
And so the rest of this tentative map is to just do housekeeping to change that.
That's correct. As you know, all the improvements are constructed out there. Well, we'll have to change the tentative map and the final map, but there will be very little changes to the improvement plans. We'll put in a letter for the hydrology saying basically nothing has changed. And we'll put in a letter with the improvement plans to say basically nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm. Is there anybody who wishes to speak against the application? Seeing none, this public hearing is closed. The floor is open for a motion on this tentative map. Can I make questions from the board first?
I'll make a motion that we approve the stuff.
And I'll second it.
Make one notation. We do have a request from the Las Vegas Valley Water District, so we'll be changing the title to Bilberry Ranch Meadows Duplexes rather than Hyndman. Hyndman was the name that was previously a title number, and this is a duplex Meadows, different product. So to meet their service rule requirements, there's a nuance in there. This Bilberry Ranch Hyndman will be renamed Bilberry Ranch Meadows Duplexes. Excuse me, Meadows Townhomes.
Meadows Townhomes?
Meadows Townhomes, more term, rather than product.
more discussion among the board? Any more questions? Want to go for a motion? Oh, we have the motion by Bruce, second by Jim, to approve this tentative map of it being ancient. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0.
Thank you.
We have one more for it. Okay, the next item is UC-0255-17-BR Hork Incorporated. It's a combination of a use permit for a single-family attached residential development, duplexes, for waivers of development standards for reduced setbacks, reduced lot size, modified private street standards, and a design review for a single-family attached residential development, duplexes on 15.3 acres in an R3 multiple-family residential zone, generally located on the north side of Brookings Bay Avenue between James A. Bilbray Parkway and Elmer Rush Way, and that's 850 feet west of the Needle Conway of Milwaukee. This is for action for our recommendation to the County Planning Commission at their May 16th meeting. The applicant, please explain this, all this stuff.
Again, Michael Petty for D.R. Horton, 1081 Whitney Ranch Drive. The reason for this application is the staff has requested, with changes in Title 30 since the original entitlement of this project, that it be re-entitled as single family attached. It's a nuance that allows for the kind of like the PUD requirements. You see, the setback is different in this product. But the code has changed since it was originally entitled. So what fits the code closest at this time is single family attached. That's also the name, the reason for the name change of the Las Vegas Valley Water District to Bilbray Ranch Meadows Townhome, because that fits their service rules at this time. You cannot do meters for a joint system, a joint water system, master meters, with any type of single family residential. Service rules of the water district require that if you have single family, you have individual residential meters. As we know, this is 100% constructed, the streets are in. So to meet the entitlement requirements, you have a single family attached to meet the Las Vegas Valley Water District service rules. We are a townhome. So jumping through the nuances, the setbacks, nothing has changed out there from the original construction or before, but what has changed in the years that we see is Title 30.
Okay, the chair opens the floor for a public hearing for comments from the public. Is there anybody in the audience who'd like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anybody who would like to speak neutral? Hearing none, is there anybody opposed? I don't see anybody. Mr. Sturgeons, what was your point about
that? It was answered in the name is Craig Sturgeons, 2720 West.
Can you come up to the podium?
At least go to the mic.
It's Craig Sturgeons, S-T-E-R-E-N-C, 2720 West St. Mass, here in Lockwood. My original question was over the, whether it was a change in density that they were asking for in the first request. And then the second request, in terms of setbacks and turnarounds, I do have a little bit of a concern about the turnarounds for fire at the end of the streets. Is that what the setbacks for the street with turnarounds are about?
The setback changes have just made reflect what the product out there. It's not much of a change. It's just being entitled differently. It's entitled for, it's entitled more closely with the condominium or apartment complex. Given the improvements that are already 100% constructed, fits most closely now with single family attacks. So it's just a semantic thing jumping through the hoops down the county, and also making sure the law says that the water district and the water reclamation district are satisfied that this product and this entitlement, and I'll be in the news so many years later, fits within their guidelines.
He also had a question about turning around fire engines.
There was no change whatsoever in geometrics. When the project was originally entitled, it was subsequently constructed. All improvements were released on bond. So there is no change to the physical improvements that are out there. There will be no construction of streets or turnarounds or anything that is not presently constructed.
Closing the public hearing to public comment. Any comments or questions from the board members?
Just a comment, Mr. Chair. At least in going through the staff, you're aware of all the staff recommendations on it. So just going through it, to me, it just seemed like most of this was housekeeping. Most of it was improved and done years ago when it came before this board. And now with the changes that have gone through Title 30 in the interim, most of it seemed like a housekeeping type of ordinance to make it fit today. And I do know for the one applicant, or not applicant, but individual that commented, the fire department did look at it, and they were okay with it on the staff recommendations as well. So if that puts that to rest for you.
Thank you, Kevin. Any more discussion? Floor is open for motion.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve UC 0255-17 with staff recommendations.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, motion passes 4-0. Okay, our next item is general business. Receive a report from Bob Belgray and discuss support for SB 347, which imposes enforcement procedures on electric utilities that fail to comply with provisions governing surplus assets, and this is for action.
Upside down.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Robert Goldway, DILBREY, representing the Boston Economic Development Group, at the request of Senator Joe Hardy, asked for the board to provide a recommendation for approval of the text amendment I posted all our copies of for SB 347. SB 347, the current status of it was introduced by Senator Hardy. It was then sent to the Committee on Energy and Commerce and forwarded from the Committee on Energy and Commerce to the Finance Committee with a new pass. This is a major change from that new pass bill that is in bill drafting now with the Legislative Council Bureau. And as always, in the final, you got caught kind of in a time frame here where Legislative Council Bureau, the time remaining and your next meeting don't coincide with what Senator Hardy's asked from me to ask the board, and that'd be the support of SB 347. 347, I won't go through all the details. It's basically an enforcement tag bill behind what the legislature passed under SB 416 last year, which basically required all electric utility owners to file lists of assets. After speak and submit that list to both the Public Utilities Commission and the Governor's Office on Economic Development. Rather surprising to everybody in the state, no other than NV Energy, no other out-of-state owned utility complied with that, that law. And based on that, and discussions with the Public Utilities Commission, the Governor's Office on Economic Development, and Senators Parks, Ford, Robeson, and Senator Hardy, all suggested enforcement provisions had to be added to NRS 704, which is the discussion we're talking about. This bill, only against emergency assets owned by electric companies that's over 50 acres. It covers the entire state. It has enforcement provisions that would go into effect. And this is important. It only goes into effect if they fail to comply with surviving the list of assets requested for under the prior law, which is 416. And again, under the resource management plan, the only utility company that complied was NV Energy. There's approximately 17 other out-of-state utility companies that own assets in the state of Nevada, and not one of them, coincidentally, complied. Now, the provision calls for increasing the daily penalty for failing to comply. Keep again understood that compliance is nothing more than submitting a list of assets called for, which ones are surplus, which ones are decommissioned, which ones are operating, and which ones are still needed in operation. If you fail to provide that list, then you're subject to a $10,000 a day penalty. You're also subject to the fact that while you're in violation, you'll no longer own or acquire any real estate or interest in real estate in the state of Nevada until you comply with that disclosure requirement. And number three, it calls for a right of redemption under the treasurer's office, that which generally a right of redemption is for 2 years. This bill accelerates it to 180 days. After 180 days, then the treasurer can commence foreclosure proceedings to sell the assets. That is about the provision of it. Like I said, it's, I would expect it to be heard in Finance Committee probably within the next 10 days to 2 weeks. And as you know, the session will end the first week in June. And for me personally, I'd like to say thank God it will end the first week in June. I think we have 46 days and counting left of the session. And so I would request your consideration for supporting Senator Hardy's bill. And as always, if there's changes that occur, amendments that occur, we'll keep the town board and each one of you advised as those amendments take place, going through the Senate Finance Committee and through the Senate floor and do something. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer the questions.
Any questions from the board?
I have a question, Bob. On page 2, where it says an administrative fine in an amount not to exceed $10,000. The wording not to exceed kind of bothers me, because who makes the determination if that's the fine? Could it be less? The word not to exceed.
Well, that's a point. Mr. Henry, but I can assure you after talking with the Public Utilities Commission about no compliance from 17 out-of-state property owners, I don't think they should assume that the Public Utilities Commission is not going to hit them with the maximum if they don't comply. So I don't have that jurisdiction. I'll leave it up to the Public Utilities Commission to make that decision. I don't know what excuses they would make. I'll take that comment to Senator Hardy for potential amendment. I see it's vague, and it's, you know, they gives too much arbitrary decisions to be made by the Public Utilities Commission. Quite well taken.
Okay,
see a representative from NV Energy. Would you care to comment?
No comment.
And since there's so few of you here, are there any other questions from the public? Any questions from the town manager?
No.
Any more discussion among the board? Okay, since the floor is open, I'm going to make a motion here. The Wofford Town Advisory Board does hereby support the revised draft of Senate Bill 347 as presented to the board on April 25th, 2017, because the electric utilities throughout Nevada, highlighted by, but not limited to, Southern California, Edison, and the City of Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, has a controlling interest in the virtually empty 4-square-mile block of property in the middle of Wofford, have controlled generating and distribution of surplus assets for years without any serious attempts to sell them so that they could help better the economies of Nevada, Clark County, and Wofford Township. Because of their abject failure, amounting to a prime example of arrogant neglect with a miserly philosophy, to support economic development in the communities housing those stagnant assets, their emptiness continues to be included in the basis for establishing the monthly statements of millions of customers' bill payers. Nevada revised statutes beginning in Section 704.733, adopted in 2015, required electric utilities, whether based in-state or out-of-state, to report to the Nevada Public Utilities Commission all assets of more than 50 acres and their useful status. Since there was no penalty included, and the PUC confirmed that all of the out-of-state companies ignored that current law, stringent penalties must be included in amending current state law, as suggested in the proposed amended draft of SB 347. Nevada revised statutes require surplus assets to be sold with the assistance of the Governor's Office of Economic Development within 3 years. Without inducements to obey the law, one can only guess if such despicable behavior would ever end, and customers in Nevada and neighboring states would continue to pay artificial additions to their already high monthly bills. In the motion.
I'll make the motion.
Your second.
Yeah.
Any discussion among the board?
No discussion. It's just my comment, Mr. Chairman, would just be, I understand your motion. Some of these things, while I'm for endorsing the motion, or not necessarily the motion, but endorsing it, I don't know some of these things to actually be true. I'm only one vote, so I can abstain. I'm for it, for the support of it, but I just don't know some of these things to be factual on my behalf. And it just might be my own ignorance. So I just wanted to say that. And I can abstain from the vote with that, because I just don't know some of these things to be how it's actually transpired. So probably have my own ignorance.
I have an observation. I'm not going to give a prime example of arrogant neglect with miserly philosophy. I kind of have a problem with two words. If the word arrogant or miserly wasn't there, I would have no problem. But I don't really... I think the point is brought across in this bill. But to use those words kind of bothered me a little bit. But I'm not going to abstain, but I would like to have it on the record. I think in the future, our worry needs to be a little more, can't think of what I'm about to say in the American.
Personal.
Oh, yes, that's a good word. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome to move to amend. Okay.
By the way, for a bit of clarification, Gina, I think you've made a motion, but you didn't say what that motion was. Was it to support the...
It is. Yeah. He made the motion. This is drafted, Mr. Chairman.
Well, but I thought Gina made the motion. To.
She made
well,
it.
Well, I thought I was making the motion. But I, yes, I am.
And the motion is the whole page.
Can I say something?
Bruce, would you mind if Gina says...
What's that?
Would you mind if Gina says... Would you accept an amendment eliminating the word arrogant and miserly from the...
I think so.
Okay. So I have a motion to amend by Bruce to delete... And the second point, how would you like that to read?
Just
knock off the two words, neglect weather philosophy, delete of arrogant neglect, and miserly, of a miserly philosophy. And then not the word philosophy, miserly. I'm sorry, repeat that, please.
He wants to strike the words arrogant and miserly.
That's correct. So it would read amounting to a prime example of neglect. That's correct. Okay. And the secondary accepts. Need a second to your motion.
I'll second.
Any more discussion?
Yes.
Hi. You know what I think this is about? Is this is about accountability. And I think that for a long time this has been stagnating. And if not just for us, for all the other rural towns too that have a similar situation. And this is as simple as I can get at this. I do believe that we should amend maybe some of the verbiage that was used initially. But all in all, I think somebody should be held accountable for this moving forward. Thank you.
Any more discussion on the motion to amend? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion to amend carries.
You didn't say for nays or abstain.
Any nays? Hearing none.
You have an abstention. You need to account for the abstention.
Oh, yeah.
And one abstention.
Okay.
Yes, just because I don't know some of this stuff myself, so I stated earlier in the statement.
Okay, so the correction on the vote on the motion to amend is 3 yes, 0 nay, and 1 abstain. And of course, that 1 abstain. So, any other amendments? Hearing none, we're ready to vote on the motion as amended. All those in favor say aye.
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 Nay. Abstain.
Abstain.
And absent. Okay, the motion as amended passes 3-0-1. There's 3 ayes, no nays, and 1 abstention by Kathy. Next item is comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction but that are not on the agenda. Again, no vote may be taken on any matter raised under this point. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Go to the podium, the usual procedure. Anybody wish to speak? Seeing none, that item is concluded. Our next meeting date will be 1:30 p.m. Tuesday, May the 9th, in the same hall. The magic motion is up. Who wants to make the motion?
I make the motion to adjourn.
I'll go ahead and second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we are adjourned. At 2:05.
I'm wondering.
Thank you all.
Old stuff to put in.
solid return.